Well, good day and welcome back to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I want to thank you all for coming in and checking out another episode. We're going to be kicking into this week's episode as part two of our retrospective on 2019, favorite episodes of the podcast and lessons learned from those episodes so that we can carry forward into 2020. And I can't believe 2020 is just around the corner. In the midst of the holiday season, it's a good time to kind of think back about what we're doing and what we're going to be doing moving forward as well. So let's get on into this episode where we pick up with more of the team's favorite episodes from this past year and what they've learned from them. So here you go, folks.
Becky, one of the other ones you mentioned, and Kyle can take a bow here, was his discussion of the 2019 X Games Medical Overview and Avalanche Rescue Response. What did, besides that we all love Kyle, what did you like about that episode?
Well, there again, that was one of those things that, you know, I've watched on TV for years, and I, you know, you see the sort of the show that's put on, but I think we don't realize everything that goes on behind the scenes when people get injured. We've seen people get injured at those types of events. And then just generally growing up in Colorado, avalanches absolutely terrify me. So it was interesting and good to hear how those types of rescue operations unfold. And to know there are a lot of people who really are well equipped to respond and keep people safe and rescue them when something like that does occur.
Kyle, that was yours. You want to comment on that episode?
Absolutely. Becky, I appreciate the kind words, and that was a really fun episode to share from my a relatively new role for me on the 911 side, doing tactical incident dispatching for that event specifically for the Winter X Games, but also continuing my role as the Winter X Games coordinator for Aspen Ski Company. It's been a ton of fun, and I'm excited to say that I'm actually continuing in both of those roles this year, as well as expanding some involvements with the local incident management team that supports that event. And so it'll be another unique perspective to share this year, and lots to look forward to. So for those that are tuning in, just know that to put on that 1 week TV show, we do indeed build a small city at the base of Buttermilk Ski Resort and stand up quite a large public safety response element to support this. And just about all the letters, all the acronyms come out to play, and we have a great time and love to share anything if anyone has any questions.
Well, Kyle, you're probably in the planning stages right now. What does that come up fairly early in the year, doesn't it?
Yes, Sam. And for an event like X Games, where we'll draw crowds of, you know, total crowds of over 100,000 over the course of just 4 or 5 days, we start planning as soon as the event wraps up for the current year. So that's coming up middle of January this year. And as soon as we're done with that, we're putting all of our comments from our ICS 214s into our right into our after action reports. We're drafting improvement plans. We're looking at how we can improve for the next year. And that all just rolls into planning. And I actually, in just looking at my calendar here, 2 days, meeting with the logistics section.
Awesome. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Form 214, that has a lot to do with your daily activities. So good, bad, and indifferent. Joe, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you summed it up pretty nicely. You know, there's huge organizational issues in putting something like that together. I'm looking forward to not only the thrill of watching the games, but hopefully it'll be a lot of planning and not much will happen, as we all hope in disaster and mass gathering response.
Yes, even though it would be interesting to talk about, we would want to wish that on Kyle. Jamie, thoughts?
I think that it's just a great episode to just look at all that goes into these types of events. You know, people, like Kyle said, and Joe even, we tune in to see these events and watch the sports and watch the excitement of what's going on. You know, I'm excited about 2020 because it's an upcoming Olympic year. And that's something that my family has always, even when I was a kid, just enjoyed and looked forward to. You know, when those types of events happen, the areas in which they're hosted become you know, hyper response oriented, because they have to be. They've got an influx of visitors. They've got an influx of population. And so, like Kyle said, you know, there's a whole city erected at the base of this mountain to maintain the response capabilities necessary. And that's largely invisible to the viewers at home. They tune in and watch their favorite sports stars in these various sports do the things that they do. And then they turn it off, and they don't realize that there are hordes of people at all levels of response and coordination standing by on the sidelines.
And the fact that that has been in process for a year since the last one. Becky, your last one was one I enjoyed too. Heat injury and stress effect on disaster and wilderness rescuers, with our own community member, James Corbin. I love this guy. He's well-spoken, and he's very talented in a number of areas. And I enjoyed this one as well. And I know Joe will have, because it's a clinical topic. But what are your thoughts? Everybody wants to jump in on this. Since it was yours, Becky, what did you like the most about it?
Just as someone who enjoys the outdoors and has spent time in the mountains, there's just a lot of things I never considered, which is, I guess, the theme of a lot of this. I just mostly learn by being on this podcast, which is awesome. Just a lot that I hadn't considered when it comes to the rescuers. You know, everyone is always focused on the person being rescued and, you know, what their injuries are. But there's a lot to take into consideration, particularly when it's very hot outside. I just enjoyed talking with and hearing from James. I thought it was really, really fascinating, everything he was saying.
I agree. So we're going from the cold to the heat. Jamie, you had a comment.
Well, I just think that was a great episode, and I learn from these things as much as Becky does. I mean, I think that's, you know, a lot of people don't know it, but that's the reason I started podcasting in the beginning years ago, was that I'm in a semi-rural area of Maryland. We don't see a lot of call volume, so for me to maintain my skills and knowledge, I looked for a podcast that would help me do that. And when I didn't find one, I created one, just to give me an excuse to do the research and study and learn the different medical situations, the different medical problems and issues and illnesses that we might see, and learn myself. So I still learn a lot from these shows. And I remember specifically learning in that episode that it was possible that people were able to acclimate themselves to be working in a hot environment. And that and I think Joe was the one that brought this up in that episode, was that, yeah, you actually like increase the amount of sodium that you maintain in your blood to allow you to be able to sweat more profusely, and you don't sweat as much salt in your when you do sweat in hot weather once you're acclimated. And there's certain things you have to do to acclimate yourself, exercising outdoors in the heat for a certain period of time over a period of several weeks, and then you're able to maintain your activity levels much longer, which just was fascinating to me. It's not something I'd ever considered before.
So, Joe, you want to comment on that? Because Jamie knows pretty much everything.
No,
so
I don't.
Something like that.
I think he said it pretty nicely, actually. That was a pretty good summary. There's a lot of physiology behind what we were discussing in that episode, and I think Jamie summed that up pretty nicely.
Kyle, thoughts on that one? I'm cold. I know you're a cold weather guy, but...
True. I am definitely built for cold weather, but there's a ton to do around Aspen and stuff in the summertime as well. And that's not an off season for us. That's actually becoming an increasingly busier season for individuals recreating in the backcountry that are not always familiar with hiking elevation, altitude, and within the heat, with the big temperature swings that we get throughout the day. So, you know, dovetailing on Jamie's comments, being able to take and learn from that episode as well, and then to share that with our fellow dispatchers, as well as our fire EMS services and our professional mountain rescue team in the valley, so that they may be able to just keep themselves safer as a team when we're sending them out to help individuals in need.
Well, I'm also going to dovetail on Jamie's comments, because one of the comments that Becky had sent said, I'm really fascinated by large-scale weather events and the logistics and planning that go into preparedness efforts, both planned events as well as disasters. So what that tells me, Becky, is that, you know, you and Kyle are the weather experts, and we're always learning from you. But, you know, is it safe to say that the podcasts that we put together really give you a wider perspective of, just like you were saying about the X Games, of everything that goes in it to make it work?
Oh, absolutely. I can't express how much I've learned just listening to all of you and your various levels of expertise, not levels of expertise, various topics of expertise on all of this. And so we know so many disasters are weather related. So it's, I don't know. The hurricanes, I think, are probably what have struck me the most, I think, just because those are kind of what tugs at the heartstrings of me as a meteorologist, mostly because I've never experienced one. I don't fully understand their strength and their power. And then to hear, you know, what it's actually like on the ground and how large scale preparation for them occurs, I think it's just so kind of inspiring is quite the right word, but it's humbling, I would say, for sure.
Well, I think our overall number one winner here was our friend Sam Scheller in Las Vegas, because Jamie had his Storm Area 51 event, and actually we had two episodes on that, as his number one, and at least one or two more people had that on their list as well. Kyle, that was your number. Yeah, that was your number one as well. Jamie, why don't you start with that one?
Well, I will. And I think that one of the reasons this stood out to me was it was a different kind of potential disaster. We've talked about, you know, lots of different types of man-made situations, bombings and active shooters and various other types of things. We've talked about weather-related incidents and that we've dealt with, flooding and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and volcanoes and all sorts of things. And here's this internet-related viral storm, if you will, that had the potential to really cause a major problem in an area. And, you know, due to some heads-up forward thinking by numerous people, they were able to stand up a preparation and logistics event to back it up, just in case it came to be. Now it did fizzle out based upon you know, after action reports from what they could have expected, but that didn't make it any less dangerous as a potential event. And certainly it doesn't mean that the next similar event won't be as big as expected or bigger. So I think that there's a lot of lessons that were to be taken away from both the initial episode we did with Sam, which was about the pre-preparations and logistical barriers that they were dealing with. And then we got back and did the after-action report about what they actually ran into and what he actually saw and the lessons learned. And honestly, I think both of those provided a wealth of information about just the logistics involved, about thinking outside of the box, about being prepared for event medicine in any type of situation. And, you know, I thought it was highly informative in both of those episodes. That's why I picked it. Kyle, what about you?
Well, for me, Jamie, one, Sam is super entertaining. I love having him on the show. But for me, I kind of take a little bit of a different perspective on it, in that it really highlighted a shift in event planning for public safety agencies from formal and organized events like Winter X Games and festivals and things like that, where there's the permitting process and there's all this formality with it, and we have a lead time, where this was, as you indicated, a pop-up and sort of an ad hoc event that gave very little notice. So recall, it started as the Facebook event. It was a joke that quickly grew to tens of thousands of folks that said they would be attending, in this rural area and the stress on the local resources there that admittedly there was not much infrastructure there to support an event of this magnitude. And it truly does highlight the importance for public safety and public health agencies to be monitoring social media for events like this that may impact their day-to-day operations with little or sometimes no notice. Also, to kind of jump on some of what you said there, Jamie, with a lot of folks look at this as, oh my gosh, you know, they prepared, they spent all this money, they got all these resources in place, but the event didn't materialize as happened. So some folks may argue that, oh, well, all this money was spent, but nothing happened. You know, this was a waste, but instead it was a great learning process. And I'm sure that other agencies the world over will be able to use what Sam and his crew learned from the planning side. And additionally, also to really take and capitalize for them locally to capitalize on what they learned about their infrastructure capabilities and things like that too. And to wrap this up, Jamie, thanks again for getting all the team those EMS t-shirts from the event. Those are just out of this world.
So to speak. I wasn't going to bring up anything about aliens, but I think you just did. Yes, and thanks for the t-shirts, Jamie. Were you in on that one? I missed the first part of that one. Were you there, Joe?
I was not. I missed the first part of that one. But, you know, I think something that Kyle just said was really profound in a lot of ways, and that is, you know, yes, I'm sure a fair amount of dollars and certainly a lot of time and energy and innovation and ingenuity were put into preparing for this potential event. But I would argue very strongly that is not wasted time or money. That is building infrastructure that simply strengthens the ability of those services to do their job on a daily basis. And many times it takes the impetus of somebody over some event, whether it materializes or not, to actually push that preparedness out there where it needs to be. And I promise you that money and time that those people spent will come back to them many times over over the next few years. No matter what event shows up out there,
and
alien or not.
I'll jump in on that because Sam himself in the follow-up episode to that, you know, said that the money that his company put into additional physical resources that they were bringing to bear, I think he had like a logistics tent and some other things that he bought for his company to use. He could have returned a lot of the materials that he bought, but he opted not to because it made him, it gave his company more resilience in the face of another event or something unplanned that might come up. So I think you're exactly right, Joe. I think that all those agencies and organizations, there are certainly some lessons learned there about large scale operations and the limitations of their local communication system. I'm sure Kyle could talk more about that, but I seem to remember Sam talking about their issues with communications and only a single channel to do that. Had there been more people there, it might have been more problematic.
And that's something they may have to look forward to the future if this thing really does catch fire, as you might say. Any thoughts on that, Kyle?
Well, yeah, I definitely remember Sam mentioning that from the after action, the second episode that we did on that. So if you listen to the first one, you got to listen to the recap. Lots of great info that Sam shared there from the EMS perspective on site. And yeah, lots too that their agencies can take forward then when they're looking to apply for grants to improve infrastructure, to do mitigation projects and things like that. They can reference what they learned from this incident, this planning and their operations to give their application a little bit more weight as compared to before.
And it may well be that this thing finds its way back into the desert next year and they'll be more ready for it. Another one that was a big one, Kyle, it was on your list, Jamie, it was on your list, and it was on my list, was the New Zealand Climate and Weather Disaster Preparedness discussion with Nava Fedup and the meteorologist. She's a disaster preparedness, a weather disaster preparedness person, and meteorologist Ben Noel. I think we all found that a bit fascinating. Jamie, why did you like that one?
Well, I liked it because I really have enjoyed the focus on international things. And actually, when I was trying to narrow down the topics, I had several of our episodes where we talked with folks down in Australia as well about wilderness medicine techniques in Australia compared to here, which was another fascinating episode. And I think that it was really one of the things that we've done a lot of in this past year, and I hope we do more of moving forward, is really looking at how international response is different from nation to nation, region to region, and how lessons can be learned because not everybody does things the same way. And our solution, while we think it's the most elegant solution for us, may not be as good as somebody else's solution. So it's important for not only do we communicate internally here in the States and locally, but also that we look and see what they're doing in New Zealand and Australia and other places around the world to solve problems that we also have. And they may have come up with a better way to do it. And then again, just as in general, the climate change issue, which is going to become more prevalent for a lot of people moving forward. You know, New Zealand being an island nation is certainly more aware of it than a lot of us are, but it's no less of a problem that's going to be facing services here in the U.S. Moving forward. So I think it was a relevant topic for that reason, too.
I agree, and it seems like we have such an international presence in our community. They're the ones that bring some of these ideas up, and I hope we can keep that going. Kyle, what did you like about it?
Well, I really liked the perspective that was shared, and it really helped to remind, you know, not just me, but I think all of our listeners as well, is that whether it's a global phenomenon, it's what we talk about, a lot of the impacts we get here, the deployments for United States and our territories, the weather hazards that ultimately can become disasters when they affect our built environment, is that other countries the world over, they face similar challenges, not just with, you know, the changing weather impacts that they're getting because of, in part due to global climate change, but additionally, the challenge that they have in communicating those hazard impacts to their citizens. And, you know, some of the terminology that they use is a little bit different, but there were a lot of commonalities as well between challenges that we face with our disaster communications and preparation here in the United States and our territories, but also in New Zealand as well. So I thought it was a very eye-opening episode.
Becky, I don't know if you listened to that one, but what are your thoughts on what you're hearing here?
Yes, yeah, so that was actually Ben Knoll was a friend that used to work with me at AccuWeather. So it was actually really just interesting to hear what he does now, you know, having worked with him for several years, and now he's off doing this international forecasting and how he interacts with their emergency responders and things like that. It was personal just to hear from someone who I knew who used to forecast weather for the U.S. and now he does it in the other side of the world in a different hemisphere. I thought that was just really fascinating.
Yeah, that's right. You were the one that got us in touch with Ben, so that worked out fine. I was hoping for an accent, but I didn't get one from him. But oh well. Lastly, Jamie, you like the one on disaster logistics with Brian Sims. What did you like about that one?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to see more of moving forward, and that's one of the reasons I picked this episode as my third choice, was looking at the use of technology and how it can be utilized to help frame preparations for the next event and logistical planning during operations. So I think that it's important to, you know, I think it's important for us to look at this episode and see what companies and organizations are doing to bring more capability to local response to disaster on the ground through various types of technology that will make the logistics of getting the right materials and the right personnel to the right place at the right time easier. We talked a little bit about this earlier when I was commenting on, you know, the response to Hurricane Barry, and the lessons learned to date. I think this episode was a great opportunity to look at how technology is helping to advance that even a little bit faster.
Joe, I might have missed you on the New Zealand episode. You were probably on for that, or at least listened to it.
Yeah, and actually it fits in nicely. My thought fits in nicely to what Jamie was just saying, and that is how incredibly valuable it is to talk to folks around the world who have a different set of problems and a different set of answers to those problems. I've learned such a huge amount from interacting with folks either on the podcast or in person in Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, and others. And it just, I think, makes us all better. It gives us additional tools in our own toolbox and different perspectives that simply help us to do what we do better every time. It is very much a practice of medicine that is you kind of make part of it up as you go along, and you need lots of tools in your toolbox to be able to do that effectively and safely. And that is, I think, the great value of the lessons learned from our colleagues all around the world.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Disaster Podcast. I want to thank everybody for checking out this part two of our three-part episode retrospective and look forward. Next week, we'll be kicking in with 2020 expectations, some of the topics we want to cover in 2020. And this is really something I think you'll definitely want to check out next week, is that looking forward to what we want to cover, because this is your opportunity to share as well. So when you get to that episode, listen to what we've suggested for episodes in the coming year, and definitely chime in the Facebook group with that episode as well, and give us your expectations. What do you want to hear us cover more of in the coming year? That'll all be next week on the podcast. In the meantime, I want to thank Paragon Medical Education Group for their continued support of the podcast. Make sure you reach out to them, find out more about what they can do to bring a customized, budget-friendly educational resource for you and your community to do something really special and different from the way in the scene of medical education. So check them out at paragonmedicalgroup.com, over at thedisasterpodcast.com, where there's links to their site, and over contacting Joe and the team directly over in our Facebook group for the Disaster Podcast. That's it for me. We'll sign off and come back next week with the final part of this special retrospective and look forward for the Disaster Podcast.